Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This hour we're going to celebrate poetry in many forms with several guests. It's always a good time to celebrate poetry. I usually have a St. Patrick's Day dinner and I make everybody read a poem, and they know now, so they all come very prepared for the dinner. We're going to be eventually during this hour talking with Marilyn Nelson, whose latest collection, How I Discovered Poetry, has just been published. She has an autobiography and she's lived in an interesting time in American history. Growing up in the 1950s as an African-American young girl, her development as an artist and as a young woman took place during those years. So we'll read about her understanding of the time she lived in, the civil rights movement, the Red Scare under the shadow of the atom bomb, and the first stirrings of the feminist movement. But we're going to start this hour with the Poetry Out Loud competition. The state finals were held last week in Madison, and I had the great privilege of being one of the judges, listening to 10 high school students from all over the state, and they didn't know that I competed in this. I don't think anybody knew when I was in high school many years ago in the state of Illinois. I was so impressed. They were just wonderful. They read carefully and meaningfully interpretation of three different poems. We're going to be hearing from the winner and the runner-up and the Wisconsin coordinator of Poetry Out Loud, and we may move them into the first part of the show and keep them with us all hour because, to tell you the truth, we can't find our poet. We'll find her eventually, but we don't have her now. So the author of How I Discovered Poetry will join us at some point during the course of this hour. But we'll start with Poetry Out Loud competition. And Jackie Martindale is going to be with us, and she is the Wisconsin coordinator for this. She's a former high school English teacher. And Jackie, we want to thank you very much for joining us. Hi. Oh, no, you're on a different line.
You.
Hi, Jackie. Thank you for joining us a little bit early.
Yes.
Yeah. And let's just talk a little bit about this competition. I could not believe when I read up on this, there are 375,000 participants all over the country.
Yes. They started this back in 2006, and the very first contest they had was something that they did in January, and we had a student from every state in the union by April for the contest, including Wisconsin. So, and it's growing significantly across the country, and it's also grown quite a bit here, especially in the last couple of years, which I'm very pleased of.
And tell me what students do. At the finals, they had three poems they had to read. Do they select from thousands of poems, or how do they decide what they're going to perform?
One of the things that is an important goal is to familiarize as many students as we can with good poetry, traditional and contemporary poetry. They put together a fellow by the name of Stephen Young at the Poetry Foundation put together an online anthology of 800 or 900 poems. And this anthology has everything in it for everybody. Students choose from that anthology, which is all online, of course, and they choose things that are meaningful to them. Mm-hmm. So that if they memorize this poem, it becomes their poem because it's meaningful to them.
Did you do a lot of teaching of poetry in your English classes?
Yes, I did. I taught American literature and sophomore literature and then English literature, AP English, and taught a great deal of poetry and tried to make it as accessible to students as we could. Also, I coached forensics, which is, I think, poetry reading in Wisconsin is probably the most popular of all of the categories. It's certainly the most difficult because there's so much competition.
Mm-hmm. Well, I must tell you that I was so impressed by the students. There were 10 students, and they were so poised, and they obviously gave a lot of thought and attention to the poem. So the meaning of the poem was clear in virtually every poem that was read. They were so impressive.
Yes, they are every time. It is just I've been to a number of the regional meets where they might have 10 or 12 students or maybe four or five.
Mm-hmm.
And at those meets, they have to recite two poems, and almost every time it's just a revelation to see what they choose, how they understand it, how they convey it. And I'm always impressed with their ability to memorize because I've forgotten how to.
Right. Well, somebody has said that we should bring that back, that we should all be, and I agree with this, that you ought to be able to have poems in your head or important, you know, quotes from people. It's good to be able to memorize, to bring that forward because it's so useful at many times in your life, isn't it?
Yes, yes, I think so. I know that back in the day, probably in the 70s and 80s, there was a movement in education not to make students memorize whole sections of poems at
right.
various grade levels. There was the idea that you know, the more you memorized, it actually exercised your brain, and in the faculty of thinking and memorization could be exercised by memorization. That was not thought to be the case in the 70s. It may be, that idea may be coming back. But one of the things is that a lot of times students, including me when I was a student, and my father certainly, would have to memorize these long poems by Longfellow
sure.
and Lowell and
yes.
all of the great American white dead guys. Poets. And there was something to that. I always enjoyed hearing my father, you know, with these poems under the
right.
spreading chestnut tree, et cetera. So I never mind memorizing poems when I was in school, but there were a lot of students, a lot of kids who just simply had it was so difficult, and they were made to do it.
I see. So
and nowadays, I think students memorize poems. Young people memorize poems. It's interesting to see them when they're in the audience of perhaps hip-hop or rap or in music in general, listening in at concerts and having all of this poetry, all of these lyrics in their heads
mm-hmm.
memorized,
mm-hmm.
you know? And they're doing it already, you know, in things that are meaningful to them.
Yeah. Jackie Martindale is with us. She will stay with us. She is the Wisconsin coordinator for the Poetry Out Loud competition. The winner of the competition is in our studios here in Milwaukee, Anna Wolfs. And she really gave just a unique and beautiful interpretation of the poems that she chose. She's a student at Arrowhead High School, and you can tell she's really good at this because she won the state championship in 2012 as well. She is an interesting person. She's looking to enter the field of international relations and linguistics and hopes to work in the Foreign Service. She has traveled to Russia on a State Department-sponsored scholarship. We will not ask her this hour to talk about all that's going on in Russia, but maybe in a few years' time she'll be available to do that as well. She aspires to a position in Eastern Europe. She speaks Spanish. She speaks intermediate Russian. She's been in the Spanish Club, National Honor Society, forensics for 4 years, and the captain of the team this year, Junior Statesman of America for 3 years. We'll talk about that with her. Poetry Out Loud state champion, as we said, in 2012, and then she just won just last weekend. She's been a Special Olympics volunteer and a hospital volunteer, and she will be going to Washington, D.C. to compete against the other winners in all the states in this country, and that's coming up in April. Anna, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you really just presented exquisitely. You had a style about you that was that was very unique. You're good. You're very good.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So when did you decide that you wanted to do a poetry competition? Have you read poetry a lot in your life?
Well, I think when you're in elementary school, a lot of times poetry seems really mundane and not a lot of kids like it. And I think that one of the reasons I decided to do something like that was because I didn't want to be the normal complaining middle school kid. You know, I didn't really fit in very well in my school, so I decided, well, you know, I'll try it, and maybe I can make them make fun of me a little bit more, and, you know.
You didn't fit in with, how didn't you fit in? Too serious?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I didn't really like the things that other kids liked.
Right.
I liked to read a lot more than they did. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it got to a point where I was like, well, you know, if they're already not liking me, I might as well make them not like me a little bit more.
Read some more. But look at how it served you already.
Yeah.
And you're still very young, so imagine where you're going to be years and years from now.
Yeah, I hope so.
You chose three poems. You had all these poets from whom to choose. How do you choose when you're going to recite something? It has to speak to you, I would think.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think that's one of the hardest parts. They put the poems up in September, sometimes the last few days of August. And so, you know, the first couple days of September, my mom and I just, you know, go on. And I think one year my dad set up like a random number generator for us to look at different poems. And so I think that I've probably read all of the poems on the website at least twice.
Oh, my goodness.
And but the nice thing is that they do change the poems year to year, but they don't change them too often, so I know them pretty well. So it got to the point where, you know, the past couple of years where I'd be choosing poems the night before the competition, so they have a random poem, like click this and it'll go take you. And so I've had quite a bit of luck with that.
Mm-hmm.
I found one of my poems in 2012 that way, Lions by Sandra McPherson, and it's become one of my favorite poems since then. So.
And is it hard to memorize a poem? I'm old now, so I would think it would be really hard to do that. Does it come naturally, or does it take a lot of work?
I think that's one of the things I'm pretty good at, is memorizing random bits of information. I think that one of the things you should remember when you're memorizing something is that memorization, like, works in all the different parts of the body. You have to hear it, you have to speak it, and you have to write it down, so your motor memory.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and I mean, I think my mom's a physical therapist, so she's always kind of, you know, supported that, you know, you need to write it down because your fine motor skills and, like, your motor memory plays a big role in your memorization.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm in class and I'm, you know, well, not sometimes, I'll just write down the poem. I won't even pay attention to it. I'll be paying attention in class, but, you know, with just your hands, you can just sort of write it down.
Hmm. Interesting. Do you do theater as well?
I haven't had the chance to do that in high school. I did quite a bit of that when I was in middle school, but I think most of my performing comes through poetry and forensics.
Mm-hmm.
So
I would think that you would excel at theater as well. Maybe.
Thank you.
Another thing to add to your already very busy life. Now tell me about, you said you were just in Washington. I don't know about Junior Statesmen of America. What is that?
Well, it's an organization. It's the largest student-led organization for high schoolers. It's very well known. It's completely run by high school students, and so there's a student government, you know, just working under the radar here. So there's a president of the United States that most people don't even know about. So we have senators of Wisconsin, and they have a mock Congress for all of the regions of the United States every year. And so we actually weren't able to get to the Midwest region mock Congress because of all the snow they were having.
Oh.
So we ended up having to join the Mid-Atlantic and Texas region. But it worked out pretty well. So,
do you want to run for elected office at some point? Do you ever think about that?
I don't know that I would like to do domestic work. I'd like to probably go into Foreign Service, like you said, and I think most of those positions are appointed or just hired, so.
Uh-huh. So. And you went to Russia. When were you there?
I was there from late June to early August.
Oh.
With the National Security Language Initiative for Youth, which is a State Department-sponsored scholarship for students to learn critical languages, and I think there's seven languages that you can apply to learn. So that's Turkish, Hindi, Russian, Arabic, Chinese, Korean, and one other. I can't really remember it right now.
And what captivates you about Russia? Obviously, this country is going through some turmoil at this point in time.
Yeah.
What was it that makes you want to have your foreign service in Eastern Europe and your interest in Russia?
Yeah. Well, when I first applied and I was looking to kind of figure out what I wanted to do with my life, and I've always loved languages and communication, and so when I saw that they had, you know, all of these, you know, Asian regions and Middle Eastern countries, I thought, well, you know, that's cool, and I might like to do that sometime. But I looked at Russian, and, you know, as a Polish person, I kind of saw that, you know, Russia and Poland have quite an intertwined history, what with, you know, like the partitions of Poland and all of this kind of stuff. So I thought maybe if I went to learn a little bit about the Slavic kind of heritage, that might teach me a little bit more about my own heritage. And then when I got there, it turned into an interest based on the fact that, you know, Russia spans 7 time zones. You know,
it's huge.
It's huge. It's massive. I mean, I went from Moscow to Kirov, which is an inch on the map, and it took 14 hours to get there.
Oh.
And so, for Russia, I think you're never going to stop finding things. Mm-hmm. Everything is different there. Mm-hmm. And the people are so similar to ourselves, but the culture is very complex.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Just like you. It's good. It's good to be complex. Jackie, we're going to have Jackie tell us what are all the components for poetry. And I'm going to, it's not putting you on the spot, I don't think, because you just won the state competition for you to do a poem for us.
Sure,
so you won't mind doing that. And Jackie, if you would tell us in just a moment what it is we should listen for. And you'll hear when you hear her, you'll hear her very sensitive and deep interpretation of poems. Anna Wolfs is with us, and she is the winner of the competition last Saturday in Madison, the Poetry Out Loud champion. She is. She'll go to Washington in April, along with Jackie, and the school, actually, Arrowhead, will also be receiving money, which I think is a terrific thing to buy poems, buy books of poetry for the library. Good. We'll also later in the hour be speaking with Amber Sheth, who is the runner-up from last week's competition. She'll be joining us from Rhinelander High School in Rhinelander, Wisconsin. And sometime this hour, we're not sure what happened to the poet who is going to be with us, but we have plenty to talk about. We may eventually be speaking with Marilyn Nelson, author of How I Discovered Poetry. She is an acclaimed poet, author of more than 20 books of poetry for adults and for young adults, but I don't know where she is right now. And we also want to invite you to join the conversation. Every time we talk about poetry on this show, we find all these poets who come forward and people who love poetry. So feel free to join the conversation if you would like. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. The Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. Anna Wolfs was the winner of the competition. She also won in 2012. She's a senior at Arrowhead High School in Heartland and is interested in entering international relations and linguistics and working with the Foreign Service at some point. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Jackie, before we hear Anna compete, can you give us an idea of what the judges were looking for, what all is involved in the competition?
Yes, one of the things that's most important is accuracy. Actually, is that to get the poet's words across, and overall for the overall performance, it's key to for the person who's reciting to, in a sense, be the vehicle for the poem, bringing the poem, you could say, to the audience so that they can understand it, probably feel it, empathize, sympathize, whatever. There has to be a good deal of physical poise and presence.
Yes.
And that's something Anna and Amber and I, all of the students actually who
participated. Yes, they did.
You know, they all have that physical dynamism that just makes them, you know, compelling. You know, you want to listen to them. They need to have a strong voice with articulation skills so that everything is heard. Because key to poetry is understanding or hearing every word. Unlike the spoken word or poetry slam type of poetry, which is in many times very dramatic and therefore very entertaining, it's more important to let the poem itself shine through. And the ability to do that and to kind of make sense of it for the audience as the person speaking is very important. And that means, of course, that the reciter has to have understanding. And so this person has to show evidence of understanding. Also, is the poem, how complex is the poem? It may be rhyme, it may be have a lot of different ideas trailing through it. There may be an extended metaphor that the student has to understand in order to portray it to the audience. And those are when somebody's really good at that, suddenly the listener has a new understanding of the poem.
Yes.
And that's probably the most thrilling thing for me when I listen to these students is that, well, I thought the poem meant this, but I can see now this student sees it this way and gives it to us this way. And it's subtle. It's subtle. It takes quite an ability to do that.
Mm-hmm. I sort of compare it to a wonderful actor who makes me understand Shakespeare. If you're really good at it, then you can make somebody understand those words that may be difficult to read.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Anna, if you would tell us what you're reading, why you chose it, and then we'd like to hear one of your winning poems.
Sure. I am going to be reading Mrs. Caldera's House of Things by Gregory Janikian. I think I chose this poem because I have a real fondness for long, not rhyming poems. I just like really intricate poems that work with like strange adjectives and just, you know, very descriptive word choice. And something that is easy to paint a picture in someone's head. So, I'll start now. You are sitting in Mrs. Caldera's kitchen. You are sipping a glass of lemonade and trying not to be too curious about the box of plastic hummingbirds behind you, the tray of timeless forks at your elbow. You have heard about the back room, where no one else has ever gone, and whatever enters remains. Refrigerator doors, fused coils, milk bottles, pistons, gears. You never know, she says, rummaging through a cedar chest of recipes, when something will come of use. There is a vase of pencil tips on the table, a bowl full of miniature wheels and axles. Upstairs, where her children slept, the doors will not close. The stacks of magazines are burgeoning. There are snowshoes and lampshades, bed springs and picture tubes and boxes of irreducibles. You imagine the headline in the Literalist Express. House founders under weight of past. But Mrs. Caldera is baking cookies. She is humming a song from childhood. Her arms are heavy and strong. They have held babies, a husband, tractor parts and gas tanks. What have they not found a place for? It is getting dark. You have sat for a long time. If you move, you feel something will be disturbed. There is room enough only for your body. Stay a while, Mrs. Caldera says. And never have you felt so valuable.
I just love that poem. I've never heard it before. Very, very nice. Very nice. Yeah.
Thank you.
Anna Wolfs, and you can see why she was the winner of the competition, Poetry Out Loud. She'll be going to Washington. She's staying with us. We have found Marilyn Nelson, so let me talk to Marilyn a little while about her poetry, and we'll continue. We'll also be hearing from the runner-up, Amber Sheth, from Rhinelander, high school student. She's state poetry runner-up for 2014, and she is very accomplished as well. Marilyn Nelson, we're celebrating poetry this hour, so we also wanted to speak with a poet. And our guest has written a book that's a late career retrospective. It's a personal memoir, a portrait of the artist as a young American Negro girl. The poems cover the decade of the 1950s. From 1950 when she was 4 to 1960 when she was 13. How I Discovered Poetry is the name of her latest book. The poems, she says, are sometimes enhanced by research and imagination, and they include a growing awareness of personal and racial identity set against all the tensions that were experienced in this country during the 50s. Some of the poems, she says, are about the Red Scare, the shadow of the atom bomb, racism, the rise of the civil rights movement, first stirrings of the women's empowerment movement. It's also the story of military life, because her father was in the military and actually she's the daughter of a member of the last graduating class of the Tuskegee Airmen. She has won all kinds of awards, including the Robert Frost Medal in 2012, the Poetry Society of America's most prestigious award. In January of 2013, she was elected a chancellor of the Academy of American Poets, and she also teaches at the University of Connecticut. And we thank you, Marilyn, so much for joining us to celebrate poetry this hour. Hi.
Hi. I'm sorry we had a little bit of complication. I'm very pleased to be here.
Well, I'm glad you could be with us. You know,
congratulations to the winners and...
Yeah, I hope you had a chance to hear her. She's such an accomplished reader of poetry, very, very accomplished. So at what point in your life, you know, it's interesting that you grew up to be a poet, because not many people can say that, and then it happens in their lives that they turn out to be a poet. But there were little glimmerings, and some of those are in some of your poems, where you thought, well, maybe I could become a poet.
Yes, I discovered poetry as a very young child, and so there was always a place for poetry in my mind and heart as a child, and so in some ways it wasn't difficult to have that aspiration.
Mm-hmm. And the time that this book encompasses, your early childhood, I grew up in roughly the same time. When you think of all that happened in that decade and in the subsequent decade, there is a lot of material for poetry, isn't there?
Yes.
What was it like for you? I know your father was in the military. There's also a lot of change of having to say goodbye and hello again and again in many of these poems. The last graduating class of the Tuskegee Airmen, that's quite something, isn't it?
Well, his class didn't make the distinguished history that the older cadets did, the ones who graduated and flew in combat during the war. My father's class didn't fly in combat. But yes, it was he was a part of a distinguished company, and he was proud of that. And he loved to fly, and I think that probably was the most important part of it for him, was having the great privilege of having a professional career, for the most part, in the air.
How difficult it must have been, I'm trying to imagine this, to be a young girl who's having to go from place to place after you've made friends and established some sense of home, that your homes had to be many.
Yes, although I have to say that since, for the most part, we lived in military communities where everybody was coming and going,
it always seemed strange to me to meet people who had never moved, you know, three or four generations in the same place. Mm-hmm. That seemed strange to me. But as I was writing the poems for this book, I realized more clearly the pain that all of this relocation created for my sister and me.
Mm-hmm.
There's one poem in which my father is giving away our toys, or there are a couple where the pets were given away. You know, we're moving, we'll find another home for the dog. So there was a sense of rootlessness and dislocation, disconnection.
Mm-hmm. Do you have your book in front of you, or are your
I
poems?
I do, yes. Uh-huh.
Could you read the poem that's on page 97 of How I Discovered Poetry? I love that one. Well, I love all of them, but I like this one a lot.
Okay. This takes place on an Air Force base in Oklahoma in 1959, How I Discovered Poetry. It was like soul-kissing, the way the words filled my mouth as Mrs. Purdy read from her desk. All the other kids zoned an hour ahead to 3:15, but Mrs. Purdy and I wandered lonely as clouds borne by a breeze off Mount Parnassus. She must have seen the darkest eyes in the room brim. The next day, she gave me a poem she'd chosen especially for me to read to the all-except-for-me white class. She smiled when she told me to read it, smiled harder, said, oh, yes, I could. She smiled harder and harder until I stood and opened my mouth to banjo-playing darkies, pickaninnies, disses, and dats. When I finished, my classmates stared at the floor. We walked silent to the buses, awed by the power of words.
Mm. The all but you white class. Was that hard?
It was sometimes hard, but it was hardest when somebody did something like this. For the most part, I think we were young enough as children to be innocent of a lot of the implications of that.
Mm.
And that's why, for me, the telling point in the poem is the classmate staring at the floor.
Right.
You know, that teacher did something cruel to all of us.
Yeah.
They were embarrassed for me.
Mm.
They felt that for me. So I appreciated that.
And when did you lose the innocence?
Oh, probably about a year later. I think I'm in seventh grade here. And I think by ninth grade, that innocence was gone. There was partly because there was so much happening in the United States about race. I mean, the civil rights movement was happening, sit-ins were happening, the Southern police were spraying people with these fire hoses and having police dogs attack them, and it was in the news every night.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would have been hard to maintain any kind of racial innocence.
Mm-hmm. As we celebrate this hour, we celebrate poetry, Marilyn. Just tell me, how does somebody become a poet? How did that become a life's work for you? And if you could speak just a little more generally to the importance of poetry in our libraries, in our schools, what we should do with poetry.
Let me see. The first part of your question first. I think we've become poets by something magic that happens in the air when we're born. I really think,
of course,
some people are just born that way, and it's a question of whether they're given the tools to develop the skill. It's a skill, But it's a skill like having math sense or being able to understand physics equations. Not everybody has the skill, and a lot of people who have the potential skill aren't able to develop it. So they're not going to become physicists. But poets are people who are born with that skill and desire and who are willing to put their feet to the fire and learn the craft, because it also is a craft.
Mm-hmm.
What? And so that's, let me see, I think there were three prongs to your question, but I only remember two.
And at what point did you realize, and how were you able to craft a life for yourself as a poet? How do you do that?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's a mistake to even think about that, frankly.
Hmm.
I think a lot of people who are writing now imagine that something happens, ding, you're a poet, and then you get paid for everything you do.
I'm sure that's not the case.
No, it is definitely not the case. You become a poet just by writing poetry. It has nothing to do with whether you publish or not. Look at Emily Dickinson.
Mm-hmm.
You just make a commitment to become better at the craft and to follow the poetry to the wisdom that it offers. It's a matter of being humble to the muse who is trying to teach you something by guiding you in the writing of poetry. That's what I think.
And did
but
you
have not a lifestyle? I supported myself by being an English professor for 30 years,
mm-hmm.
But that had little to do with poetry.
Did you have somebody in your life in those early years in the 50s or beyond who was really crucial in identifying your talent?
My mother recognized very early. I don't know how she decided this, but I was a very sensitive child. I cried a lot at beautiful sunsets and flowers. And if something was beautiful, it made me cry.
Mm-hmm.
And adult friends of my parents thought there was something wrong with me. And my mother would always sort of put her arm around my shoulder and say, no, don't worry about Marilyn. She's very sensitive. She's our poet.
Oh. And she remained so, I'm sure. We thank you, Marilyn, very much for being with us to celebrate poetry. Marilyn Nelson, in her book, her latest book is How I Discovered Poetry. She has won all kinds of awards, has written more than 20 books for adults and young adults, including Carver, A Life in Poems, A Wreath for Emmett Till. She has taught at the University of Connecticut for some 30 years. And this book looks at that important decade. We're celebrating the poetry this hour of the program. Amber Sheth will join us, a senior at Rhinelander High School in Rhinelander, and she was one of the young high school students who was at the competition last week, the state competition, and came in second. So we will have her do a poem for us and talk about poetry in her life and continue with Anna and with Jackie. Jackie can give you more information about how to get involved in Poetry Out Loud. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Amber Sheth is joining us now from Rhinelander, Wisconsin. She's in the school offices there to talk about poetry. She also enjoys tennis mock trial, which is interesting. We'll ask her about that because she won the state competition in that category and is going to be competing in the national tournament in mock trial. And she's been participating in Poetry Out Loud. She dedicates a lot of time to the YMCA Board of Directors, the Oneida County Teen Court, and she will be attending college next year, hopes to study medicine and become a surgeon. And we thank you very much and congratulations on your performance, Amber, last week and your runner-up designation. And hello, thanks for being with us. Can you hear me, Amber? Hello, Amber, can you hear me? Hello. I don't know where she is. Oh, well. Jackie, tell us, for those schools who are not participating in Poetry Out Loud, how that can happen. How do you become involved?
Yes, they can reach me through the Wisconsin Arts Board. There is an online website for Poetry Out Loud, which is the national website, and in it is the list of states and my email address. I think maybe my phone number too. They can also look on the Wisconsin Arts Board list. Should have news on there, and they can put in Poetry Out Loud Wisconsin in Facebook, and they can reach me that way. Every year, I also send out a brochure to every single school, high school in the state, and all of the information is in that as well. So there are quite a few ways of addressing this. Most people go onto the Poetry Out Loud website at the national level and find us there.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Jackie. And I do believe we have Amber. Can you hear me now? Well, something's wrong here. Amber, can you hear me? Hello?
Hello?
Oh, there we go. Okay. Hi, Amber. I'm sorry. It was my foul up here. So, Amber, why do you like poetry?
Well, I love poetry because it's almost like a book, and I love books, but in a condensed form.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there is a beauty in being able to present something in just a few words.
Hmm. Oh, that's a nice answer. You're going to a national tournament in mock trial. I don't know about mock trial. What is it?
Well, mock trial is an extracurricular activity where basically teams are given a prepared legal case, and we have to prepare both sides of that case.
Oh.
And so we have to call three witnesses, and then there's also three attorney roles. And so then competition basically involves being either the plaintiff side of the case or the defense side of the case.
Oh, that's fascinating. And you're going to nationals. Where will those be?
Wisconsin is actually the state hosting nationals this year. So we get to go down to the lovely city of Madison again and perform there in May.
But you want to be a surgeon and not a lawyer.
Yes. As much as I love the public speaking involved in mock trial, I really do enjoy science as well.
Yeah, you're a young woman of many talents. So tell
Thank
us, I've asked you to do a poem for us because we're celebrating poetry this hour. So tell me why you chose what you're about to present to us.
Well, the poem that I will be reciting is called An Apology for Her Poetry by Margaret Cavendish. And I really enjoy this poem because it was written in the 1600s. Margaret Cavendish was a contemporary of Shakespeare. And she was kind of a feminist, which was unusual for the time period.
All right, you're on.
All right. I language want to dress my fancies in. The hairs uncurled, the garments loose and thin. Had they but silver lace to make them gay, they'd be more courted than in poor array. Or had they art, would make a better show. But they're plain, yet cleanly do they go. The world in bravery doth take delight, and glistering shows do more attract the sight. And everyone doth honor a rich hood, as if the outside made the inside good. And everyone doth bow and give the place, not for the man's sake, but the silver lace. Let me entreat in my poor book's behalf that all will not adore the golden calf. Consider, pray, gold hath no life therein, and life in nature is the richest thing. Be just, let fancy have the upper place, and then my verses may perchance find grace.
Oh, I like that one, too. And how did you find that? Did you find it, as Anna did, in that lengthy list of poems?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
I just pretty much looked through all of the lists or all of the poems that they have on the website for Poetry Out Loud, and I just found ones that piqued my interest.
Mm-hmm. It is amazing, Jackie, the variety of poems that the students have to choose from, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is. As you can tell, that one was from the Shakespearean era.
Right.
And then all the way to contemporary poems. When I heard your poet reading hers, I've heard it before. I'm not sure where, but I looked it up quickly online to see if it was a part of our, it was listed in our anthology online, and it's not. But I'm sure I've heard of that one before, and it's very attractive to students because, it puts, how they're in that situation,
right,
where they're a person who loves poetry, and a lot of other students don't pay too much attention to it.
Right.
It reveals, in some cases, too much.
Yeah. Amber, thank you so much for reading for us. The national competition, let's talk about that for a moment. It's in April.
Yeah.
Whoops, let me get your mic in. Yeah, in Washington,
yes,
D.C.
Yes, it is.
And you've already been.
Yeah, I did. It's a really nice competition. We stay in a hotel too nice for us. And
well, it's not too nice for you.
Yeah, and we perform in this huge auditorium that's part of the George Washington University, which is really nice.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We get to have breakfast at Congress. So.
Oh, you do? I didn't know that.
And
nice.
If we want to, or if our representative or senator wants to, they can set up an appointment with us and we can go and talk. So we're thinking about going to do that. And, maybe we can...
And then you do the competition with students. There's a semifinal round and then a final round.
Yeah. So there's 53 competitors. So one for each of the states, and then one for the District of Columbia, the Virgin Islands, and Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
And so they divide us up into three regions. And the first day of competition, we do all three regions separately. So there's a Western region and Midwest region and Eastern region, and they choose three from each of the regions, and they go on to the second night, which is where they have nine competitors, and the nine competitors do their two poems, and then they choose three to actually finish with their third poem, and then they announce the winner. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're going as well, Jackie?
Yes, I'm going this year. I went the year that Anna performed.
Mm-hmm.
I should say that they really, in the three areas, three divisions, they choose the top four. And Anna was in the top 12, but was not one of the people in the nine. But she won a scholarship of $1,000 that year.
Wonderful.
And she has matured these last couple of years.
That's right. That was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
She may well walk away with the whole thing this year. It should be very nice.
Yes, it would be wonderful.
Yeah, it would be. Thank you, Jackie, so much. Thanks for being with us and inviting me to be a judge. I just had the best day. It was fun.
Well, thank you so much for having us on.
Yeah, our pleasure. Anna, all the best to you in your competition
so
coming up. And Amber, all the best to you in whatever you choose. You could be a lawyer, you could be a poet, or you could be a surgeon. You have a lot of choices. Do you know where you're going to school next year?
Not yet. I still have to hear back from some of the schools that I applied to.
Uh-huh. And Anna, are you a senior?
Yes, I am.
And next year you'll be?
Well, hopefully I'll be in Russia, but I'm not quite sure which college I'll be going to yet either. So.
My. All right. All the best to you. Thank you
so much.
Yeah. Thanks,
thank
Amber,
you.
So much. Thanks for being with us. Thanks to Cynthia Schuster and KP Whaley for producing the show, and to Lisa Nalbandian for on-air production here in our studios in downtown Milwaukee.